ॐ सहनाभवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सहवीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। Last week, we saw Arjuna's understanding of the Virat Rupa. It started very saumya, very sweet, very beautiful. He saw Brahmaji, he saw all the gods. And slowly then it went into the Ugra Rupa and ended with the Ati Ugra Rupa, where he saw all these people going into the mouth and getting crushed in the teeth and all that, which made him very frightened. Because first it was okay, it was Saumya Rupa, it was very sweet and all that. But as it went ahead, and at the very end, we saw these two verses where he described the people entering the mouth of the Virat Purusha as one as the rivers enter the oceans, and the second as the moth enters the flame. So two examples were given. The river entering into an ocean is a very natural phenomena. So because both are given for death. So the river entering is a natural phenomena. So indicating to us that there are some natural deaths happening in this world. Quite a few, old age, basically. People live to a ripe old age and then they pass on. But Patanga, the moth, is actually going into his death. He didn't have to go into the flame, but he is. So indicating to us that there are some unnatural deaths also. Young deaths are there. Accidental deaths are there, which maybe could have been avoided, we think. But those types. So there is this river flowing into the ocean, which is a natural phenomena. And then this is not a natural phenomena. A death is happening because of some reason, even old age is a reason only, but this is an unnatural reason. It's not like the person has lived his whole life. We do see young deaths, we see stillborn children, we see so many types of things, right? So that is the two things. Now what has happened is Arjun is now really scared, and he doesn't understand that first it was all nice, and now how Bhagwan has become, like, Bhagwan is supposed to be nice and compassionate and good, and now how he's so Ati Ugra, what can I say, terrible. Like, how can Bhagwan be this terrible? This is what is now, and he is himself very much afraid now. So we go on to verse 31. Akhya hime kobh. आख्याहिमे को भवानुग्ररूपो नमोस्तु ते देव। Am I chanting this correctly? आख्याहिमे को भवानुग्ररूपः नमोस्तु ते देववर प्रसीद विज्ञातुमिच्छामि भवन्तमाध्यं नहि प्रजानामि तव प्रवृत्तिम्। Tell me, आख्याहिमे is tell me who you are, so fierce in form. Salutations to you, O God Supreme. Have mercy. I desire to know you, the original being. I know not indeed your purpose. So Arjun is scared, and he knows that this is Bhagwan only, because it's not a change of characters or anything. But he doesn't understand why Bhagwan is taking this sort of a form from a very, mild form. See, the thing is that in our life also, when situations come, and last week, Padmaja, you said about the fires in Sydney, about the coronavirus is also there now. But in our life also, there are good situations and then bad situations also come. That is the Ugra Roop or the Ati Ugra Roop of Bhagwan. Situations are not always good for everybody. Maybe for some very lucky ones they are, but most of us, because the birth has, human birth has come because of 50% of papa and 50% of punya, 50% merit and demerit. So obviously they'll be good and they'll be bad as well. So that is the understanding here, that this Ugra root we also see of Bhagwan, and we also wonder, my God, what happened? What did I do? The other thing is, Bhagwan has to have that Ugra root to create a balance. See, if we take Ramayana also, Ravana had become so powerful and so evil that the evil was rising so much that Bhagwan had to create a balance between, there has to be a balance between good and evil. If evil rises that much, if good rises, there's not a problem. But if evil starts rising that much, then Bhagwan has to take Ugra Roop and come. And that's what Sri Rama did. Vishnu, he took birth as Rama, and then that was the purpose, is to create a balance. Even in Bhagwan Shri Krishna's avatar, already he said, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So I have come to restore that balance in dharma. Dharma will be there, adharma also will be there. You cannot have only one side of the coin. These are two sides of the same coin. They will be there, but there has to be some sort of a balance. You know, even right now we do see adharma. Absolutely we see. But you know, at least there is some goodness. There are temples. There is, you know, there is a sort of a balance. When this becomes imbalanced, then Bhagwan has to come, show his Guru, and he is doing it now. 4-5 months, the fires are going on. Now this coronavirus has come up, right? SARS came up and AIDS came up and these. And so these are his Ugra Rupas, which have to be taken for creating the balance. But this Arjun doesn't understand. So far, he has seen all the good things. Even in his own life, other than that last dice game, everything was all good, good only that way. So therefore, then he says, oh my God, he says, who are you? He's asking now. He's scared. This question is out of fear. It is not out of curiosity. He got afraid. That's what he says. God, he says, you're God Supreme. He knows it is Bhagwan Krishna only, but what is this? You know, sometimes people, suddenly a child gets disturbed or a person also gets very angry all of a sudden. We say, oh, what is this? You're just so nice and calm at one minute and now you're like that. So this is what has happened. So now Arjun is asking. Now Bhagwan starts saying. Now the reason. Because he says, I know not indeed your purpose, he has said. What is your purpose? Why are you doing this Ugra Roop? Ati Ugra Roop. Not even Ugra. So now Bhagwan starts. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kalosmi Loka Kshaya Krit Pravriddha Lokan Samahar Tumiha Pravriddha Rite Pitvamna Bhavishanti Sarve Yevastita Pratyani Keshu Yodhaha. The Blessed Lord said, I am the mighty world destroying time, now engaged in destroying the world. Atyuguru. So destroying the world here should be taken as creating a balance. Not the full pralaya will happen, but creating a balance right now. Even without you, none of the warriors arrayed in hostile armies shall live. Okay. So here he now gives the purpose. This is the purpose of his birth. Why has he taken birth? Why has he come? So the first thing he says is, Kalosmi. Aham Kalosmi means Aham Kalaha Asmi. I am Kala, time. So we have to understand what time is. We have already seen that time is a concept of the mind. Because when we go to sleep, there is no time for us. Because when the mind is folded, it is. So when the mind is there, time is there. If the mind is not there, time is not there. Time is a distance between two thoughts, two events, two situations. And when we say two thoughts, two events, two situations, there it indicates a change. So time cannot be recorded unless there is change. Okay. So if you look at the earth is going round the sun. And because there is a change in position, 365 days have come. We say 1 year. It takes 1 year for the earth to go round the sun. Then the earth is rotating on its own axis. And then 24 hours have come. Out of there came 24 hours, right? Then the 24 hours were divided into hours and then minutes and then seconds, etc. Then the moon is going around the earth. So we have the new moon and the full moon. So that change is there, and that is what is recording time. So when he says here that I am time, does it mean that he's like 1 minute or 2 minutes or 1 hour or one kalpa or one yuga or two yugas? No, it is not like that. Because time can only be recorded in the presence of a conscious being. How will that recording, can this table know that time is morning gone and evening has come? No, we know. Because in the morning we saw light and now it is dark. And now there is a change in that situation. Two events have happened. Sunrise has happened. Sunset has happened. Now we say that there is time. There is a concept of time. So by saying I am time, he says I am that principle which is supporting the change because of which time can be recorded, because of which you understand time. We understand time. Okay? That's what he means by kalosmi. Aham kala asmi. That is what he means. I'm not like 1 minute or 5 minutes or whatever hours or whatever. Okay? So the change when recorded becomes time. And that's why in deep sleep, no change is recorded. I don't know that, you know, what is happening outside. It could be raining, snowing, whatever could be happening outside. I don't know. No change is recorded. Change can only be recorded when the mind is present. Mind can only record change when the pure consciousness is present. Or the mind is awake. Mind is folded. Deep sleep also, there is pure consciousness. Please understand. But the mind is folded. It's like electricity is there. I will switch this light off after the lecture. I will switch the computer off. What is happening to the electricity? Electricity is still there, right? So that way. So that's what Bhagwan means here. And I am engaged in destroying the world. That destroying the world here, if you take only Krishna avatar, he has come to restore balance. Destroying the world of evil. I have to restore. That's why so much in this war was his main purpose. Not only war, but even from his childhood, if you see Putana and Shishupal and, you know, Kausa was there and Shaktasur. So many demons he has killed. So what he has done right from his birth is create balance. There has to be a balance between good and bad. Will never go away. Please remember, because good and bad again is the same coin. So it can never go away, but there has to be some sort of balance. Okay. So that's what he's saying. And then he says, even without you, these hostile, means the Kauravas, they're going to be dead. That's what he's saying. That is why I've come. I have come to kill them because they are, the balance is now tilted. Evil is getting more powerful and that balance has to be restored. And that is why my Ati Ugra Roop is there. And that's why these things happen. And the next verse is a continuation because it starts with tasma, therefore. If there is a word therefore in the beginning, that means something before has, I cannot say therefore I took an umbrella. No, it was raining, therefore I took an umbrella. So the next verse starts with tasmat. Tasmatvamuttishtayasholabhasva jitva shatrun bhunkshkva rajyam samriddham maye vete nihata purvameva nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Therefore, I have already killed the hostile army. Therefore, now you just get up and you fight. Therefore, stand up and obtain fame. Take the credit for what I have done. Conquer the enemies and enjoy the flourishing kingdom. Verily, by myself, they have already been slain. Be you a mere instrument, O left-handed bowman. The Savyasachin word name has come for the first time in Bhagavad Gita. It is a name of Arjun. And what it means is, in English, I think there is a word called heterodextrous. Heterodextrous, am I right? Or yeah. So it means that the person is right-handed also equally strong and left hand also. So he can write with right hand also. He can write with left hand also. He can do things with both hands equally good. And Arjun was like that. He could hold the bow in his right hand and he could also hold, usually the bow is held in the right hand, in the left hand, and right hand will pull the arrow for right-handed people. But he could do it with both arms. And he was equally strong, equally successful. That's why he was such a great warrior, you know. So he could fight with both hands with equal prowess, equal strength. And therefore, one of his names is Savyasachin. That is what is meant here. So that's why he said, be ready for war, because you may have to use both your arms to hold the bow. So be ready for war. And he says, just take the credit. Nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. See, this nimitta matra, I'll tell you, I was thinking about this. In context of the Bhagavad Gita and in context of Mahabharata and the war, Bhagwan is telling him, I have done what is to be done. You only take the credit. I have killed them. I told you, the specialty of this Virat troop is that Arjun sees the end of the war. This is the end of the war, na? When Bhagwan is saying, I've already killed them, means now you know, I've killed them means you're going to live, means you're... And he says, Shatrun Bhungshwa Rajam Samruddham. You kill them, be a nimitta, be an instrument to kill them. I have killed them, enjoy the kingdom. In our life, if you see, that's why I always have said this, things are predetermined. Bhagwan has already, but not Bhagwan, our own karmas, depending on what sort of karmas we have done in the past, our future has been predetermined. So only nimitta happens, instrument happens. So if I get hit, my car was in a hit and run, by the way, I didn't even know, right? Now that is the experience that I have to go through. I don't even know but that instrument was somebody else. But that experience I had to go through, at least for one day, ICBC told me, if we determine it to be a collision, then your insurance is going up. I'm like, I never collided with anybody as far as I can remember. So what happens is our experience is already predetermined, and then somebody becomes a nimitta, somebody becomes an instrument. So say I have to have whiplash, somebody will come and hit me. It's not even my fault. I'm just standing at a signal or standing at a stop sign. Now somebody is hitting me, but that experience of whiplash, I have to experience it. So this is what it is. The death has already happened, Bhagwan says. You only become the nimitta, the instrument. So you just fight, don't worry. Everything is right. So because Arjun was worried about the war, right? I mean, worried in the first chapter, he was not even ready to fight the war. So that's what. Now he enumerates the people. Dronam cha Bhishmam cha Jayadratham cha Karnam tathanyanapi yodhaviran Maya hatatswam jahima vyatishta Yudhyasva jeta sirane sapatnan Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Karna, and other brave warriors, these have already been slain by me. See, they are dead. They are already dead. You do kill. Be not be distressed by fear. Don't be afraid. They are dead people. Fight, and you shall conquer your enemies in battle. It's a blessing. Bhagwan is telling him the future, that this is what is going to happen. So why are you afraid? Drona was his guru, as we know. And Drona was Arjuna's guru. So how do you, fight your own guru? I mean, he's definitely better than the disciple. So I don't know if everybody's familiar with the story. Drona was very much attached to his son, Ashwatthama. So what Bhagwan did was, with his Leela, he told Bhim to go and kill an elephant named Ashwatthama in the forest. So Bhima went and killed the elephant Ashwatthama, and Krishna, what he did was, he just spread the rumor, Ashwatthamo hataha, Ashwatthama is dead. Ashwatthama means, it's true also, because that elephant was named Ashwatthama, but Ashwatthama, so Drona hears that and immediately he's very much distressed. So he says, is this really my son? And who will tell me the truth? It's Yudhishthir alone. Because Dharmaraj he never spoke a lie, right? So he says, I will go to Yudhishthir, to Dharmaraj, and ask him, who is this Ashwatthama? So he goes to, and Yudhishthir himself is not sure. So Yudhishthir says, Ashwatthamo hataha, narova kunjarova. That is a very famous statement from Mahabharata. So he says, Ashwatthama is dead, but I'm not sure whether it's a human being or an elephant. But what Bhagwan does is, when he says the next part of the statement, there's loud drums and are played. So, and Drona is already upset. So what happens is, he doesn't hear that other, the later part of the statement. He only hears Ashwatthamo hatha, means Ashwatthama is dead. That much he hears, and he lays down his weapons, and that's how Arjun overcomes him. Okay. Bhishma's training was in the heavens. Who could? Nobody could defeat Bhishma. So again, Bhagwan Krishna knows that he had taken one vow that he would never fight a woman. So they say, you need to put a woman in front of you. Of course, Draupadi says, I will go and fight. So they said, no, keep quiet. You know, women are not allowed and we cannot put you there. So they put in Shikhandi. And Shikhandi in the previous births was this, she was the daughter of this king of Kashi, whom the three sisters, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika, were captured by Bhishma and brought for marrying, you know, Yudhishthira's father, right? Grandfather, rather. Yeah. No, father or grandfather? Yeah, grandfather. And then one of them is in love with somebody else. So she says, I don't want to marry him. And Bhishma sends her with great honor. He says, we will not force you to marry the king. You go back. But then that other king refuses her. So she comes back and she wants to marry Bhishma. And Bhishma says, you can ask for anything else but marriage, because I'm tied to my vow. So she says, I want your death. And he says, Tathastu. That Bhagwan knows. So, and that same woman then comes as Shikhandi, who's Draupadi's brother. He's a eunuch. And then he comes. And so Bhagwan says, put him in front of Bhishma. Bhishma will know that this is a woman and he's not going to fight her. And then you shoot arrows at Bhishma. So that way Bhishma is conquered. Jayadratha had a very fantastic boon from his father, saying that whoever kills you, means they will cut your throat, so your head, you'll be beheaded. But if that head falls on the earth, that other person who shot that arrow, his head will get blown away. That's the kind of boon he had. Of course, Bhagwan again knew that. So Bhagwan tells Arjun that you need to cut his throat, but the head must not fall on the earth. It must fall on somewhere other than the earth. So Arjun shoots the arrow such, that's the greatness of Arjun, that the head goes and falls in the lap of the father of Jayadrath, who had given. And that time the father was doing, he was in meditation. He was doing tapasya. So when the head falls, suddenly he gets, you know, like something falling in your lap when you're in meditation. He just stands up and the head falls on the ground. And his own head gets destroyed in that. That's how they overcome Jayadra. Karna, we know Karna had a curse that during the greatest war of your life, your wheel is going to get stuck, which did. And because of that, Karna. And even before the war, Karna had this kavach, this sheath coating, which could never be penetrated. So Indra, who is the father of Arjuna, goes to him as a Brahmin, Bhikshu, and asks for that. And in return, he gives him his Shakti Astra, which Indra tells him, you can use it only once. It is infallible, like it will destroy your target. You can only use it once, and after that, it will come back to me. And Karna had saved that for Arjun. See, as long as Bhishmacharya was there, he had told Duryodhan that if you want me to be the Senapati, the commander-in-chief of your army, Karna cannot fight. Karna cannot be in the army. And the reason he had done that was because he knew that Karna was Kunti's son. Bhishma knew that Karna is the oldest brother of the Pandavas, and he didn't want the brothers and brothers fighting. So he says, as long as I am your commander-in-chief, he cannot be in the army. And Duryodhan had no choice. So Karna was holding on to that Shakti Astra to use it on Arjun, except Bhishma falls and Karna comes into the picture now. And Ghatotkach, who is the son of Bhima and Hidimba, I think, from a, you know, demoness, Ghatotkach is born, and Ghatotkach is himself like a big demon. And he was destroying the Kaurava army left, right, and center. And Duryodhan tells Karna, use your Shakti Asra. So he says, no. I have saved it for Arjun, because Indra had said, you will use it once, it will come back to me. That's it. You cannot use it over and over again. So Duryodhan tells him, if you don't use it now, we are all going to be dead. That's it. Ghatotkach is going to kill us. So you better use that on Ghatotkach right now. So he had to use it. So it's used and it's gone back. His kavach is also gone and he becomes vulnerable. And thus Arjun kills him, right? So these are the things, but Bhagwan told him that I have done all this. That's what Bhagwan is giving all ideas, right? All these ideas come from, because Bhagwan had said, I will not lift any weapon. In the war, I will only drive your chariot, but I am not going to fight and I am not going to lift any weapon. Actually, in between months, Bhagwan gets really angry because Bhishma is, you cannot defeat him. He starts using his Sudarshan Chakra. Then Arjun says, no, no, Bhagwan, don't break your promise. It's okay. Don't use. So this is why, therefore he says, you shall conquer. He says, you will be victorious. I have killed him. You just become a this thing. Okay. Now, Sanjay says, etat shrutva vachanam keshavasya kritanjalir vepamana kiriti namaskritva bhuya evaya krishnam sagad gadam bhita bhita pranamyam. Sanjay now is telling Dhritarashtra, having heard that speech of Keshava, Krishna, the crowned one, Kiriti, here means the one who is crowned, Arjuna, with joined palms, trembling and prostrating himself, again addressed Krishna in a choked voice, bowing down and overwhelmed with fear. See, the reason that Sanjay is telling Dhritarashtra this, what did he tell? He told what Krishna said. What did Krishna say? I have killed all of them. He named them also. Drona also I have killed. Bhishma also I have killed. Jayadrath also. Karana also. I have killed all of them. You just take. The reason Sanjay wants Dhritarashtra to know this is to give him another chance to stop the war. See, Dhritarashtra, all he had to do was, there will be no war. If he had told Bhishma, no, don't fight. Bhishma was tied to the throne, right? Bhishma was listening to Dhritarashtra. If Dhritarashtra would have, if Bhishma withdraws from the war, finish Duryodhan, what Duryodhan can stand in front of Pandavas? So Sanjay is trying to, even now, because this is, I told you, if you remember, this is happening on the 10th day of the war when Bhishma fell. This Bhagavad Gita means Sanjay telling him. Bhagwan telling Arjun happened before the war, but Sanjay telling Dhritarashtra is on the 10th day. So he says, already these people are, you know, they're going to die now. Bhishma has already fallen. Now you have asked me, now Drona and everything. Even now you have a choice. You surrender. And then all this further death, Duryodhan was not dead. Not all the Kauravas were dead. At least some of your sons will be saved. But Dhritarashtra being so attached to his son and so attached to the crown, he doesn't, when, you know, when you're blinded with attachment, you don't listen to reason. Even the guru will tell us, but if the disciple is not ready, what understanding is happening in the mind of the disciple, only disciple knows and God knows. Because sometimes the understanding is only not correct. What is being told is correct, but how I understand that message is different. So this is what Sanjay is saying, that now he is, you know, Arjun is now really trembling. Because now Bhagwan told him my Ati Ugra Roop and this is what is going to happen, right? So he says, now he addresses Krishna again in a very choked, gadgatam. You know, when you're crying, then you go like this. That is what gadgatam is. And bhita bhita pranamya. Bhita bhita means very, very afraid. He's very scared, trembling. But yet he does his prostrations. And now he says, now what is happening is from 36 to 46, it is a prayer by Arjun to Bhagwan. These are prayer verses. And if they say, that's what our Acharya told us, if you're scared, if anybody is scared of anything, these verses should be chanted. That is the importance of these verses. Apparently, when Gurudev was in the US, in Houston or somewhere, he had made everybody chant these verses. This is the important, because this is now a very, very beautiful prayer that now Arjun is going to be saying. Okay, so it's not a discreet, it's now, you know, praying to him. Arjuna vacha sthane rishikesha tava prakirtya jagat prarashyatyanurajyate cha rakshausi bhitani disho dravanti sarve namasyanti cha siddha sanghaha. Arjun said, it is but meat, and I'll explain what that is. Thane, that is how Gurudev has translated it. O Rishikesh, Krishna, that the world delights and rejoices in thy praise. Rakshasas fly in fear to all quarters, and all the hosts of Siddhas bow to thee. Sthane, the first word in this verse, is an indeclinable word. And sthane means things are as they should be. That is the meaning of sthane. Therefore, it is but meat. This is how Gurudev has translated it. But what is being said is that whatever is to happen, whatever is, you know, the Bhagavad Gita essence is there. Whatever has happened for the best. Whatever is happening for the, whatever will happen for. That is what the meaning of sthane is. The load of that word is whatever is happened is, it's in its place. It is correct. That's why we say when wrong, bad things come to us, we say that is wrong. But that is how it was supposed to be, and therefore it has happened. There is nothing, there is no miscalculation in Ishwara's mathematics. So whatever is coming is it is what it is. What when we say, you know, it is what it is. That is what sthane is. So this is what Arjuna is saying, that whatever you're saying is correct. And he says that the world delights. I'm not surprised that the world is singing your praises. Rakshasas is the asuras. Asusu ramante iti asura. So Rakshasa means not some ugly form. Any uncultured, Gurudev has translated that as uncultured people, or those who are very body oriented. You know, those who are very much identified with the body. Asusu ramante. Asusu is the prana. So those who are identified with that, those are the rakshasas, demons or asuras. And they fear and fly away in all quarters. And the reason he's saying that, he's seen that in the Virat Roop. He has seen people running away from him, right? In that Virat Roop, at the same time, he had seen people running away, being scared and running away. And he also had seen people who were singing praises of the Lord. Because they know that even though this is the Ugra Rupa, this is Lord himself, right? So, and all hosts of Siddhas are the realized masters. They know who you exactly are. So they have realized themselves to be you. And so they are singing his praise. There are four things in this verse, four aspects. One is, it is natural that people will sing your glories because you are that great. Now Arjun has seen it. So you are that great. So whenever there is a great person, people will sing his glories. The second thing is, the Rakshasas will be running away in fear. Right? The third thing is that the Siddha Sanghas sing your glories. Siddha Sanghas means the Siddhas, the realized people, they sing your glory. It is natural that all people will sing your glories. Now, when we say all people, not all of them are realized. That is the difference. All people, it is natural. You know, some people might say out of fear. Some people may say out of surrender. Some people may do. So all people, it is natural that they'll, because people at some point realize that, okay, Ishwara is the only thing, powerful thing. So that is natural. Second thing, the Rakshasas fleeing away is natural because they don't even understand all this. They're tamasic. The Siddhas, the realized masters, with understanding, they are praising you. You know, we see Bhagavan Shankaracharya, realized masters, right? Extolling bhakti and all that. So once you come, once you realize, then this thing. And all this is in its correct place, sthane. It's in the proper place. This is all correct. Whatever is happening is correct. This is what he says here. Kasma chatena nameran mahatman gariyase brahmanopyadikartre ananta devesha jagannivasa tvamaksharam sada sattat paramyata. And why should they not? So this is a continuation of the previous verse, because he said, it is natural that all people are singing your praises. He says, why shouldn't they? O great souled one, Mahatman, bow to thee greater than all else, the primal cause even of Brahma, O infinite being, O Lord of lords, O above of the universe, you are the imperishable, the manifest and the unmanifest, that which is the supreme, that which is beyond Sat and Asat. See, in we have two types of, you know, literature, means types of whatever. There is one thing known as stotra and one is stuti. There are two words, stotra and stuti. Okay. Stotra is one who is capable of composing something, so they will compose praises in praises of the Lord. So if we take Bhagavan Shankaracharya, Kanakadhara Stotram, Ganga Stotram, so he has written these bhakti stotras in praise of Lakshmi Devi or Ganga Ji, or that is stotra. And for stotra, you need to compose. So there has to be some sort of a tune and all that. So that becomes a stotra. But stuti anybody can do. And it is prose. And it doesn't have like there should be a meter, this, that, etc., etc. What is happening right now is a stuti. It's not a stotra that he's singing to Bhagwan. He is doing praise of Bhagwan. And in that praise is his prayer as well. We always praise somebody who is greater than us. Na? We will not praise somebody who is not great. Anything, you know, he's a better cook, better driver, better, you know, whatever. Even good handwriting or whatever. So this is what is happening. So here, what he continues, he says, why should they not, O great soul one, Mahatman, you are great. Gariyase Brahmana api adi kartre. You are the cause of Brahmaji. See, Brahmaji is supposed to be the creator of this world. It says you are the creator of the creator. So how great you are. That is what he says. So that's why will they not praise you? Ananta Devesha Jagannivasa. Ananta, infinite. Where there is no ant. Devesha. So infinite. You are Deva Isha. You are the Lord of Lords. Deva is God only, Deva. But Deva Isha, you're the Isha of the gods, means you're the Lord of Lords. We have it in our pledge now, Lord of Lords, and devotion to the people is the supreme Lord of Lords, we have that word. So because here Devas, you know, the deities, he's the controller for all the deities, na? The phenomenal forces, the deities like Surya, Chandra, etc., etc. So that's why he's using that word. Then Jagannivasa, you are the abode of this entire world. So all this, the consciousness is pervading in and through this entire world. So therefore, this, you are the abode. The world is resting in you. Tvam Aksharam, you are that imperishable. How do you become imperishable? Because you're changeless. We saw when he says, I am time. He is the changeless substratum upon which the changes are happening and because of which the changes can be seen. Unless there is a changeless substratum, you cannot see change. Unless there is a steady screen, white screen, you will not be able to see the movie. Right? So that's why we know that the body has changed. We know the changes are because there's some sort of unchanging substratum within us, which is God, which is the existence principle. Okay? So, Tvam Aksharam. And you are Params. Param is beyond Sat and Asat. So Sat and Asat is manifest and unmanifest. So you are good and bad. You're beyond the pairs of opposites. You're beyond the duality. You are both the manifest and the unmanifest. Now, or you can say sentient and insentient. Sentient is very easy to understand that Bhagwan is there because there is a life force. You know, I'm talking, you know, people are moving, animals are running, so, or trees are giving fruit. So wherever there is this living consciousness, we it's very easy for us to understand that there is consciousness. But in inner things, our understanding, we should have the understanding when we come to firmly know that he is the material cause of everything. See, the material in every single object is only the five great elements. There is no sixth thing that has gone into this. If you take any object in the 14 worlds, seven above, seven below, same material is there. Space, air, fire, water, earth. And that has come from Maya and Maya has come from him. So the five elements have come from him. So he is the material cause in each and every living and non-living being. So living, there is consciousness as well as the material. So he is the efficient and the material cause both of this entire world. That is what is meant by you are beyond Sat and Asat. So we need to understand that. That's how we understand that in the inert, there is God too. As the material of this inert object, he is present. Ishvara is present as the material cause of every object. Okay, so this is the Swarupa Lakshana. In Tattva Bodh, we had seen two types of Lakshana of Bhagavan. Swarupa, its own nature, so Aksharam, imperishable, beyond manifest. This is the Swarupa, this is Swarupa. And Tatastha is where, you know, we would point out to something and say, oh, you see that person moving, so God is in there. Or the trees, you know, that is Tatastha, because it is shown via Upadhi. Via Upadhi also you can say, na? And direct. Swarupa is where directly this existence, consciousness, bliss principle is explained. So it is said it is imperishable, it is this, it is that, etc., etc. And Tatastha is through the Upadhi it is pointed. Do you see that bird flying? Okay, there's consciousness in there. Do you see this happening? There's like that. Okay. So this is 37. We go next. Tvamadi deva purusha puranaha tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam vetasi vedyam cha param cha dhama tvayatatam vishvam anantarupa. You are the primal God. See how the stuti is going, huh? How he is praising the Lord. He, even though he is afraid, it will say in the end, he's afraid and yet he is praising. You are the primal God, Adi Deva. Like we have Adi Shankaracharya, we say, right? Adi, because he is the original, he's the originator of everything. He's the originator of Ishvara, he's the originator of Maya, the element. Everything came after that. But first he was there. This principle was there. So he understands Krishna as that Adi Deva. The ancient Purusha, Purana, Pura, Pura, Itinava, Pura, means it is ancient yet new. What is the break? Let me just see. Pura, Pura Apinava, Pura Apinava. Pura means ancient. Ancient yet new. The closest example I can give you is of the present moment. See, the present moment was available to me since my birth. So it is very old. The present moment is that way. It is very old. It was available to me. But at this moment, it is very new. That is how this is to be understood. This Purana word, ancient but new, means what? Means the presence is there in every moment. It's new, but it has been going on for beginningless time. So that way it is ancient. But yet every moment is a new moment that I have in my life. Okay, Purana. Tvamasya Vishwasya Param Nidhanam. You are the abode, Nidhana, abode. You are the supreme refuge of this universe. Refuge is where the creator is the efficient and the material cause. See, if we take ordinary creation, and our most common example is the pot and the potter and the wheel. There are three things, right? So, which are different from each other. The potter is different from the clay and the clay is different from that wheel. So there are three things. But in case of the universe, there are no three things. There is only one thing. And the example given in Mundaka Upanishad is of the spider. Spider and the web. The web, material of the web is coming from the saliva of the spider. And so it is the spider itself which is manifesting as the web. And that is the Vishwasya Param Nidhanam. The refuge of the entire world means you are both efficient and material cause. So if you were to withdraw the material also, the world cannot survive. And if you were to withdraw the efficient, the consciousness part of it also, the world cannot. What is refuge? Refuge means it cannot survive without it. Dependent. There is a dependence. Refuge is when this one object is dependent. We are all dependent on the Lord, right? Because the breath is coming from the Lord. So the entire world that way. Because the entire world, that's why I told you, the material cause of the entire world is Bhagwan. So if Bhagwan withdraws those five elements, what five? Even from our body, even one element gets withdrawn, body cannot survive. We will survive because we are that existence consciousness. As existence consciousness bliss, I will survive. But my body will not survive if heat is taken out, or space is or air or water, whatever it is. One thing only is taken out, body cannot survive. So that's why he says the world, I understand that this world is completely dependent on you. That's why we should surrender to God. That's also one of the reasons. Vetasi Vedyam. Vetasi Vedyam, that which is to be known is you alone. Why? Because the entire world is dependent on you. See, the Upadeshar, the parallel Bhagavan Raman Maharshi says, there are two types of thoughts, aham and idam. This is what this Vetasi Vedyam is, the aham thought. There also he says this idam is dependent on the aham. So don't worry about the idam thought. Just worry about the aham thought. Same idea is here, that this entire world is dependent on you na. So why bother about the world? Only you, we better bother and study about you only and understand you only. So when I understand this supreme reality, what will my understanding be? I am myself that supreme reality. That means this world is entirely dependent on me. That means no difference between me and the world. That is the understanding that will come in the ultimate. So here, Vetasi Vedyam, what we see when we, if we take the example of wave or individual, when there is attention of relative to relative, means what? Individual to individual or wave to wave, it will be a relationship of strife, you know, means competition. I see somebody else, I see them richer than me, having a bigger car, bigger house. There'll always be that competition. When we shift our attention, so relative to absolute, so if we shift it to Ishvara, will we be in competition with Ishvara? God, you've got so much gold in your temples, I don't have any gold. No, it'll be a relationship of surrender. Because now I know that this Ishvara is, all-powerful and all-knowing and all this, right? And he can give me anything. So it will automatically be a relationship of surrender. But if you go to the absolute, from absolute to relative, there is no relationship. Because in the absolute, there is no relative at all. In the rope, there is no snake. You understand? So when you are looking at, so the best, the where we can be is we should be at least looking at Ishvara. Instead of looking at the world, instead of looking at our neighbors, our friends, our enemies, attention, where is my attention? When my attention is on the outside world, it will be only stress. I look at snow. All the minute I see snow around, not snow, salt around my building, I'm like, oh God, that means there's, because the snow removal guys, they come and put salt around them. So I right away know, snow is coming because they've salted our whole, you know. So if my attention is constantly on that, it'll be only stressful. So if my attention is shifted to the absolute, it'll be a thing. So then I say, oh Lord, okay, snow we cannot avoid, but please keep me safe. Or, you know, this thing. So it will be a relationship of surrender. But when Vetasi Vedyam happens, means that which is to be known, when I really come to know, there will be nothing. There will be no world. The world will be there physically, but it will not have any kind of effect on me. Okay? So Vetasi Vedyam, that is what it is. Cha Param Cha Dhamma, you are the supreme Dhamma. And chapter 15, Bhagavan will say, I am that abode from which there is no return. You will not return. This is what Bhagavan is telling Arjun. Even in second chapter, he told him that you fight this war as a dharma, heaven, doors of heaven will be open for you. No problem. No problem. Heaven is guaranteed, but it's a point of return. I want you to come to me, which is not a point. Therefore, param cha, the param supreme, that is the meaning of supreme, that there's nothing beyond it and you there's no coming back from there. Tvaya tat vishvam ananta rupa. This whole world, you are, this is, the D is the universe pervade. D means you have pervaded. Bhagwan is like in a, you know, in a cloth, there is a vertical and a horizontal thread. You can't just have vertical threads, or it'll tear. So it's like that. Bhagwan is the vertical thread, Bhagwan is the horizontal thread, and if there is a diagonal thread, then that also is Bhagwan only. So in and through the, that's why we say, the presence is in and through the creation, not just in the creation, it's in and through. How? As the material cause. The material only is Bhagwan, so he's pervading each and every this thing. So body, the gross also, the subtle also, and the causal also. Okay? Now, वायुर्यमोग्नेर वरुण शशांक प्रजापतिस्त्वं प्रपितामहश्च नमो नमस्तेस्तु सहस्रकृत्वः पुनश्च भूयोपि नमो नमस्ते. यू आर वायु यम Agni, Varuna, the moon, Prajapati, and the great grandfather. Salutations, salutations unto you 1,000 times, and again salutations, salutations unto you. See the surrender, you know. See, when we really come to know the greatness of God now, there is really, it is a very, you feel humble. Any person also, because you know, when I did the course, Bhagwan Shankaracharya, as you know, only life was only 32 years of age. So it's so young, right? 32, what did we know? I didn't know nothing at 32. At 8, what did we know? Nothing. At 8, he took sannyas. So already you feel so like, my God, at child of 8 taking sannyas. Then at child of 8, he went to his guru and immediately he gave out Nirvan Shatakam. Mano Buddhi Ankar, he gave out spontaneously. The first question is, Guru asked him, who are you? He said, Mano Buddhi Ankar, Chittani Namaha Bhagwan. So we are humble. I was, I'm telling you my experience already. Then they said, oh, he wrote all, Bhagavad Gita and 10 Upanishad commentaries he wrote. And then when we were 16, he wrote the Brahma Sutra commentary. And when we were studying Brahma Sutras under Swami Advayananda was teaching us, I mean, not full Brahma Sutra, nobody can teach us, only four sutras we were taught because 550 was not. He told us that to understand Bhagwan Shankaracharya's commentary, you have to read 3 commentaries below that. And he was only 16 when he wrote that. And we are like 40 and for me to not, you know, I was already humbled by listening to his commentaries, which he wrote at such a young age. When I heard this about Brahma Sutras, I thought I'm under the ground only. I'm not even on the ground anymore. I'm like, shh, real down. So what happens is when you hear, now just Bhagwan Shankaracharya, I'm so impressed. Imagine if Krishna comes and stands in front of us, what will happen to us? That's what's happening. That's why you say, Namo namastu sahastra krutvaha, infinite times, crores of times I'm saluting to you. That is how, because now I have understood you are only this, you know, Vayu and Agni and fire and, you know, all these deities, everything is you only. You are the grandfather of great, means what? Original creator. If Brahmaji is our father, then he is the father of Brahmaji. You know, we say grand guru, na? We say Tapon Maharaj is our grand guru. Gurudev is our guru, then his guru becomes our grand guru. There's a great, great, great grand guru. Like even just reading, even I feel like so totally humbled, right? So that's why, you know, see, I was telling in my, I don't know which class I told it. I think maybe Sunday class, I can't remember. See, I'll tell you one thing. This is the way I honestly, honestly feel. From morning when you get up till night you go to sleep, if every single minute you keep on saying thank you Lord, thank you Lord, thank you Lord, it's not enough. I'm telling you, that much grace is there on us. We must not, you know, never forget, and thank you constantly. Whatever happens, you say, oh, thank you, you know. So this is what is happening to Arjun. And this salutation thing, when we salute, the salute means not salute, not the army salute, but when we do namaskar, when we do pranams, what the subjective meaning of it is the surrender of the individuality, the ego. Physically, we are bowing down, but actually it is not a physical bowing down. It is a bowing down of the ego. And then because of that bowing down, surrender of the ego, the guru's grace comes to us. That is why we should do namaskars, you know, pranams. And also there are certain rules of pranams, which now we, because here it's come namo namaste. When the guru is, you know, talking, walking, means he may be talking to somebody or maybe he's, you know, walking back and forth. That time we should not do pranams. When he's sitting now or he's at least standing, then and usually before he says, Swamiji, I'd like to do pranams. Usually I will say, Swamiji, I want to do pranams. Then he'll just stand and then I'll do my pranams, right? Or if he's sitting, then no problem. Then you just go. So there are these certain rules of doing namaskar. And namaskar is done for getting the grace of the guru. Because then you have surrendered your ego. Okay, so that is what. And when we feel benefited, then we this now Arjun has seen so much, right, that nobody else has seen. Only he saw and Sanjay saw. Dhritarashtra, you know what, he will understand. He's blind only. Now he never. Sanjay says it's like a thousand suns or whatever. He has not seen one sun. How he will know what thousand suns brilliance is? He wouldn't know anything. So this is why Arjun is terribly, terribly humbled. Okay, so it's 25. I was going to finish till 46. Doesn't matter. We'll take our time. So we'll stop here. We are on 39. So we'll start from 40 next time. Are there any questions? Till 46, there is the praise. And then he... Arjun says, please come back to your original form because now I'm really scared. So if you have any questions, because it's 7:25 already. No questions? Okay, good. Okay, so we'll meet next Monday. And I believe there is a family day. This is the same in Alberta and BC now, right? This time, February. So I think we'll have... a day off or whatever, but that's not next Monday anyways, right? That is in, if I'm not mistaken, April. Is it April, February 10th? Anybody knows, or 17th? 17th. Okay. So 10th we'll have class, and I don't think I can finish it on the 10th because I was hoping to finish till 46 today. And then, so 10th, 24th, then 24th, we will definitely finish this chapter because 17th will not have class. So I'll class on 10th, class on 24th. And then in March, 2nd of March, we will start chapter 12, which is very, very beautiful as well. Okay.